This episode of Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you by Podmatch. Do you have a podcast that could use some fresh guests? Or perhaps you're an entrepreneur and are looking to get featured on cool podcasts? Never fear, Podmatch is here. Podmatch is an online podcast matching service that automatically matches ideal podcast hosts and guests for interviews. Imagine your favorite online dating app, but instead of using it for finding dates, you're booking podcast interviews. Simply make your account, fill out your bio, add your keywords on what you're looking for, and get matched with Podmatch's automatic matching technology. I've been using Podmatch for a few years now to book guests, and I absolutely love it. I find really cool people, coaches, experts, and gurus on all sorts of topics. And of course, today's guest I found on Podmatch. I also get booked on other people's shows all the time, and I have a blast meeting people from all over and creating long-lasting relationships with them. Sign up today using my affiliate link at joinpodmatch.com/DimitriWild. That's joinpodmatch.com/DimitriWild. And check this episode description for more. Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories. This podcast contains topics that may not be suitable for listeners under the age of 18. This includes things like domestic violence, sexual assault, and sexuality. They are intended to be educational in nature, but either way, a trigger warning is in place. Listener discretion is advised.
So I'm just listening to music. I wish it was Anita Baker. I would have been a lot calmer that night, but it wasn't. It was somebody that I just don't remember. So I'm just waiting outside. 10 minutes pass, and I'm like, how long does it take for you to get your key? Then another 5 minutes or so pass, and then somebody who works at the hotel comes out, and he's like, why are you out here? And I'm like, I'm waiting on the guy who was getting his key. He was like, that dude ran out the back door. Like, why the fuck are you here? And I'm like, But the sliding up pussy is a homicide.
Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories, the podcast where we spill the tea on sex and dating. I'm your resident sexual deviant, Demi Wild, and today I've got a very extra special guest deviant, host of the Holiloquy podcast, sex educator, Dr. Vernon Scott.
Woo! Hello, hello, y'all. Hey.
Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you, my favorite hoe.
Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah, I made that rhyme.
I love it. I love it. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here, and obviously this is going to be so much fun, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned, I am a sex educator. I'm working on becoming a sex coach, people, but on top of that, I'm working on becoming a marriage and family therapist as well. I'm planning to focus primarily on sex issues, sexual dysfunctions, incorporating pleasure into the healing process in general. I wrote a book that's called The Essential Guide on How to Be a Hoe. I'm working on my third sexual exploration journal. Is body focused, so I really do need to get back into working on that. The first one's in, the second one's already out, so if y'all want to look at that, just find me on Slater's Playhouse. You can find whatever you need on there. Okay.
You found a lot on there.
Right. My favorite time of the year is November, which is also called Hovember. That's when I get to like put out a lot of sexual health facts for people and have fun. So I guess that's like my spring. That's when the hoe just steps out and just like, you know what? Let's go out here and fuck somebody. Let's do that.
That's so, when my hoe goes inside. That's when my hoe hibernates. Really? Yeah.
I'm a winter spirit. Warm my bed for me.
It's my least favorite time of the year.
What? Oh,
Yeah,
God.
it sucks. But I also lived in Seattle for 6 years and I worked in a refrigerator, so I was cold all the time. I hate the cold.
Understandable. Understandable.
Well, you said you mentioned a book, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. So, The Essential Guide to Being a Hoe. Can you tell us a little bit what the premise of that is and how you kind of came to start writing this?
So the book is all about finding ownership in your own sexuality. So it's the premise is actually the reason I wrote the book. Let's say throughout my, I don't want to say childhood because it was like teenage years, but just the messages that I've been seeing throughout my life of, oh, if you have sex with too many people, you're automatically a hoe, and this all of that was primarily focused on women, and me being a masculine presenting, also cisgender male, I haven't had to like really deal with that kind of criticism. It was more so you can do whatever the fuck you want and everything's great. But I always had that thought process behind, like, wouldn't I be a hoe too if I'm out here sleeping around with multiple people? So
Yeah.
why is it that she's a hoe and I'm not a hoe? And this is all before I even lost my virginity. So there's that too. But it's just the thought process I just could never understand. So I wanted to rephrase the conversation to make hoe into something that you can be proud of, to feel fulfilled and just have empowerment in that. So that's the main focus of the book. It also teaches people to understand who they are, as well as understand what it means to have consent and receive consent and consent to yourself, and understand the lived experiences of other people. I will say the best thing of the book is chapters 2 and 3. 2 is about consent, and 3 is about sex work. And in that sex work chapter, there's a scenario where it puts the reader in the position of somebody who is gradually being put into sex trafficking, but you don't realize it until,
Wow.
boom, whoa, what happened here? So that's essentially like that thing. I had a roommate at one period of time who I gave the book to, and he read it, and he was like, yeah, I would have been snatched up. And I was like, I'm glad that you realized that. Like,
It's frightening, and I was just on the show, but this will be out way before I think our episode's going to be out on your show. But we had a really great conversation about both rape culture and sex trafficking, and something that I'm very passionate about. And I'm happy to hear that you also have kind of a step-by-step guide into figuring out if you're being sex trafficked or not. That sounds very interesting.
yeah, it's fierce. I could get a little bit creative every now and again.
I feel like the most nefarious thing about it too, and this is maybe a little bit of a dark subject to kind of jump off the bat with, but it's so nefarious how kind of slowly that process kind of takes place. It's like there is like a grooming that actually happens, and I hate using that word because queer people were being constantly accused of being groomed or
Right.
groomers these days, but it's there is a grooming practice that kind of takes place in these scenarios with people who are being sex trafficked, because a lot of the time they don't even know that that's happening.
It's a very smooth process. It's like one day you think that, oh, this is a person that I may spend the rest of my life with, and then one bad thing happens, and then they help you out. You think, oh, I love this person. They're just so kind. They did all the great things. They're like hitting all the major boxes, and next thing you know, you're in some very tough situations, no way to escape, and now you feel trapped, and then they have you.
Yeah,
It's dark.
snatched up.
Snatched.
Snatched up. Well, I did want to kind of like circle back a little bit more because I think we got a little bit of ahead of ourselves. But where are you
Yes.
from?
Oh, yeah. So I am from the beautiful Augusta, Georgia.
Augusta, Georgia. How is it down there?
It's interesting. I will say it is a city that's pretty conservative in terms of like sex practices, and it's a very religious place, but it's not like, when I say conservative, I do not mean like the evangelical Christian types that you will see like on Fox News. Not those people, but more so, hey, make sure you wear coverings and all this other stuff. You can't be looking all kinds of messed up. You cannot have too much showing or else you're a harlot. All
Oh, it's
those
like
kind of
that.
things. Yeah, like it's very judgy, but I will say that Augusta is opening up a little bit more. I see a lot more people who are out in variety of colors and feeling a little bit more open to be themselves, so that's a good thing. But I also haven't been living here for like 10 years, so I'm relearning the city too. So it's a process.
I feel like if I ever came to visit you there and I walked down the
You know, honestly, you'll be fine.
wearing
Like, what I'm wearing will probably be like, what the fuck? And it's like most people see the tattoos and like love it. Probably the multiple earrings might throw somebody off, but you look gorgeous, so.
I feel this is how I feel the most gorgeous is by wearing like my anything my like little goth heart would want to wear.
I love it. I love it.
So you went to college. What did you go to college for? You went to Mercer College.
Mercer University. Go Bears.
What did you study there?
So I went there for undergrad and grad. I studied creative writing, and I was also a theater minor. Woo-woo, also could have been a psych minor, but we're not going to get into that. I just was like, fuck it, senior year. I then got my master's at Mercer for higher education leadership, and then I went off to Tribeca, and that's where I got my leadership and professional practice doctorate, and that's where all of my heavy research for rape culture and everything like that comes from.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, what was something in college in that kind of trajectory that kind of led you into doing sex education? Like, what was the moment that you were like, this is what I want to do?
You know, it was actually before college that made me want to do it. Because one of the things I was afraid of when I was younger was sex. And a lot of that fear was just not knowing what it is and how to participate and how to do the things. And when I watched porn, I was like, this does not make sense to me. Like, how is it getting from point A to point B? Like, what's going on? Most definitely when it came to queer sex, because I'm just like, where's the feces? Like, what's going on there? I don't know. How is this magically clean?
How is it
Like, what mechanisms did we
Why
use
is he not shitting all over
exactly?
the
So because I didn't have those answers, I was like, let me try to find these answers somewhere. So that journey of learning more about like the process of douching and all this other stuff, wearing condoms, granted, we did have that little conversation in sixth grade or seventh grade, but fuck that.
That was not, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. But learning more about those, going deeper into the diseases and how the trajectory of these diseases may be, just made me want to start telling other people about the experiences that I've been having, or talk about more of, hey, did you know this is a thing? Did you know that you can catch this disease based off of doing these things? Like, did you know about there being more than one strand of HIV out here? Did you know these things? One of them is drug resistant. So if you are on like, what is it like, PrEP, there's a strand that unfortunately is resistant to PrEP. Did you know that? Like these kind of things.
I actually didn't know that. Where is this from?
Like, oh, a great website to look into is the one for what's the Apertude. They listed as HIV 2 or
Okay, I think
something.
I have heard that then.
That one. So it's like, yeah. Most people don't even know these things, and that's the thing that always like excited me. And I've already deemed myself as an educator too, because I love teaching people new things. One of the things I love the most about being an RA in undergrad was creating programs to educate people. So I just mixed the passions together, and I was like, if I could find a way to be a sex educator, if that is a thing, I'm going to be one of those. So
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I've always just had a very like voracious need to like learn things. Like, but I was also a terrible student because I hate structure learning. I don't follow along. I literally will fall asleep. That's actually how I spent most of my junior year in high school, is just falling asleep in class. I would only pay attention to things I liked. So that's exactly how I have been very wanting to go into this realm too, because like sex has always been a very like fascinating and like kind of taboo subject to talk about, but also we all need to know about it. And just fuck the taboos. We all need to fucking learn how to do this and do it
Exactly.
properly.
Exactly that. I love that you mentioned how like it has to be something that you're interested in. And I think that's where education fails, is because when you have structured education, people just think that, oh, you have to do these certain things. But when you allow people to follow their dreams or follow the things that really make them interested, and then tie in how, oh, well, this math concept is actually related to this thing that you're focusing on. So let's learn this math concept so you can move further along in this. It makes things so much easier.
Yeah, it needs
Like,
to be a little bit more loosey-goosey, but like follow the trajectory of the individual, not of the group.
right. And now I need to figure out exactly how math and sets can be related. That sounds fun. I'm a math person, so don't judge me, people.
I don't know why, but the Fibonacci sequence came to mind. Isn't that circle thing that
That's beyond the math that I've went to.
I feel like there's got to be some mathematical degree of like beauty that relates to sex. Does that make sense? I don't know. Maybe that's just my
Yes,
artist brain
yes,
going,
yes. It makes sense.
trying to put it together there. I will say you have more podcasts than even I. You have four podcasts. You have a new one that just came out. I'm very interested to hear about this one, The Vibrator. It's
Yes.
Vibrator Toy Reviews.
Yes.
This is pretty
So
cool.
I'm enjoying this one because one, the word liberator, that's a word that comes from high school. I used to tell all my female friends that to keep them away from fuck boys, I'm going to buy all of them liberators when we graduate. I didn't do it. But the Vibrator My Pod is all about giving people different outlooks on how they can use sex toys. For example, I don't have it with me. It's one of the I'm recording that episode this weekend, but there's this tongue toy that I have, and I don't, it's for clitoral stimulation, but I use it for nipple play. So it's like looking at the different ways that you can use a toy, because one of the things that I really hate about the toy industry is that it's women centered. Don't hate me, people. I'm sorry. But men deserve pleasure too. And on top of that, exploring the different ways that even the toys that are made for for vaginal play can be integrated throughout the body is also an important conversation that's not often had. So the vibrator in my pod is just a way to open that a little bit more. For example, I really do want to get a rose because I want to see how that can like stimulate my nipples too. So,
That'd be interesting.
right.
By the way, you're canceled for that comment about women.
I know. I'm sorry. I'll go in my
Canceled.
corner.
Men deserve pleasure too. Fuck men. I'm kidding.
But we do.
No, we do. And no, it's very true. And I think what it really boils down to is like, how creative are you in bed? How can you kind of use these tools, their tools, as something new and exciting and kind of interesting and liven things up a little bit?
Right.
And also obviously Holiloquy, which I was just on, and that'll be out later in the year. But what was the concept behind this? You've interviewed a lot of people. Like what is the concept? How did you come up with this idea?
So let's start with the name. So Holiloquy
It's a
is
great name.
thank you. It's a mashup of the word ho, French spelling, with
And
the
soliloquy.
word soliloquy. So that's why on the podcast, for those who are not in the acting community, a soliloquy is essentially whenever you step out and speak to the audience and whatnot. It's a monologue. per se. So when you mix out the two words, that's why I have that phrase when where we step out and speak on sexuality. So it's a way to normalize these conversations, open people's perspective on the fact that, hey, I've been taught that I was only supposed to have sex this one way, but here's this podcast where they're talking about completely different ways that they're having sex out here. Some of the times we disagree with each other about how we're having sex, but all of that is okay. It's not a space of yucking someone's yum. It's just like, hey, if that's what you do, do it, be great, be happy, be safe, and make sure it's all consensual. And that's the gist of the podcast.
It's a really great concept, and it makes a lot of sense, just the way it's expressed, just stepping out and speaking about sex. But
Thank
yeah,
you.
stay tuned. I will be on. We're talking, there'll be two episodes, I think. It'll be a lot of talk about sex and rape culture and all that fun dark stuff I like. And then you, I maybe not too. So well, yeah, dismantle the culture and then fight against rape culture. No, never mind. I'm gonna cut that out. Sorry.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. So
Dismantle the rape
dismantle,
culture.
yeah, dismantle the culture was all about it's no longer running because I just didn't have the time. Meanwhile, I have a whole nother podcast at this point, so I kind of do have the time. So it was more so a way for me to invite people on, most definitely those who may be professionals like law enforcement and even mayors, if I actually had the connections to do so, to talk about their roles in dismantling rape culture in their communities, or even if they even see that as a priority, because in many police. Just police culture in general, sexual assault isn't really taken seriously. So challenging those ideas of why is that? What can chiefs or mayors do to ensure that it becomes part of their conversation that whenever they do find someone who is being human trafficked, that they see them as a victim and not somebody that they're breaking the law. Yes, it's against the law, but we have so many unjust laws. So just to challenge the system, essentially.
I mean, we were talking about this too, wherein, a lot of the times when people are being sex trafficked, they are themselves thrown in jail because of they get, a record because of what they were engaging in, mostly against their will. And I say mostly only because a lot of people don't know that they're being sex trafficked. And it's just very frustrating to be met with such like resistance with law enforcement and also resistance in the law. Like when you actually go and like, and when survivors actually go through the process of going through the legal practice to, get through it, they are also, a lot of people don't, a lot of lawyers don't even take on the case because they're just not winnable cases. It's very frustrating.
Very, very depressing.
Depressing. We're gonna liven things up though. So, I'm gonna ask you a few of like these random ass questions.
Ooh, I love
Do
random
you have
questions.
anything of your exes that you should get rid of?
Oh my gosh, why? I have several things. It's actually like so I don't want to get rid of them because I love Animal Crossing, and it's so I have a whole bag, and my whole bag is an Animal Crossing bag. It's a tote that my ex got me for Christmas, and I love Animal Crossing, so I don't want to get rid of it. I have this calendar, which is an Animal Crossing calendar, that he got for me too. All these things came in like one little gift basket, and I loved it so much. There's this yin yang necklace that I have. I have the yang because I'm like the negative spirit, the dark side. I'm a moon child. So, I still have that portion of the necklace, which I probably should really get rid of. I just keep forgetting to get rid of it because he and I are done. So yeah, I have way too many things, and it's been like 2 years.
I will say, I think the only thing I have of my exes is probably a photo of us, but I have it like in a box. I don't see it at all. and just it's nice to like once in a while like oh, that was a moment in time, you know. I don't think I want to get rid of it because it was a good relationship. It was just I don't need to see it all the time. It's just in the box.
Right. This is like both well, at least I know for myself, and I'm quite sure for my ex too, we both recognize that we're more than likely not ever going to get back together. And it's not that we have any animosity towards each other, it's just that it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
So
we've moved. My mom asked me this the other day too, actually. She was like, would you ever get back with? And I was like, no. First of all, he has a boyfriend he's been with for a long time. And second of all, no, we're two completely different people now.
right. It's like once you, I will not, I do not understand why people have that mindset that you have to hate your exes. Like,
No, I can look back on it fondly. Yeah, we had issues, but like, no, we had a great relationship. It was just, you know, we just kind of start growing apart, and that's fine. Okay, so speaking of sex toys, we were talking about sex toys a little bit ago. What is the worst sex toy you've ever tried?
oh my gosh. Okay. I just wrote a review about this one. It is, I don't want to say the company's name. Oh, I have no choice but to. So I recently got a partial doll named Channing. And
A
I,
partial doll. Oh, is that like a human? The silicone bot.
yes. So I reviewed it for Bed Bible, and I like the toy itself. I loved it. It's very beautiful. The weight of it was very well ba balanced. I really enjoyed the look of it. I even enjoyed the feel of the penis that it had. It was just like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to have sex with this toy. I was so fucking excited. And then I realized that the dick of it was just so flexible that it's like, it's not going to do what I needed to do because one, sorry,
It's a bit
audience, I have to
flaccid.
be, yeah, it was very flaccid. I was like, why does a toy have ED? This is my dating experience all over again with the toy. Why,
This
Lord?
defeats the purpose.
It defeats the purpose. So it was just like, I don't, why?
So is it like a like a bottom torso?
So it is from like the neck all the way down to what has a
Upper
little bit of
thigh, kind of.
legs. Yeah, upper thigh.
Okay.
I believe it's like 27 inches tall or something like that. So it's not super big, but it's easy. It's like, yeah, it's just like I don't know how to describe it, but it's not a huge torso. But it's a good size.
I remember, I mean, I was watching, I watch a lot of like Trixie and Katya. Like I watched like literally everything of this. But I remember the story that Katya told where she had one of those toys and she was staying at Courtney Act's house and she threw it down the trash chute because she was like, I'm done with this. And she put it down the trash chute and someone found it in the dumpster the next day thinking it was a
Oh my
body.
God. Oh my God, that is hilarious. I love it.
I don't think I've tried any bad sex toys. I just got an email yesterday from a PR agency asking for me to do a review of one of their clients' toys. I'm like, I'm kind of excited to try this. This
Oh
is like the
yeah.
first time I've ever gotten reached out to do this.
Yes, do it. Do it. It's go Oh my gosh, yes. Like I am so happy that I got put onto but Bed Bible because it's been a great experience. Like I have a second partial body toy and I love her. Rosie, I love you, girl. Like
Oh, it's a she.
yes, she is
Fun.
beautiful. I love her. Like, and then there's I had a prostate stimulator too, which actually is right next to me because it's still here. It's like don't ask questions, people. I just have random things around me, okay?
If that's your workspace, it makes sense that you review sex toys. Okay, so this is maybe an interesting question. What's something that isn't traditionally used for sex that you would be interested in trying sexually?
Oh my gosh, that's so many damn things. The first thing that came to mind, unfortunately, was a cucumber. I don't like
All kinds of vegetable.
why
All
all the
kinds of vegetable.
vegetables, all the vegetables. I will. I would love to like have sex on like if I, there needs to be like an adult park for sex. Oh my God. But like a swing set, like just the old school swing that you'll find at the park. That will be so much fun. A slide would be great. Yeah, I think I'm in this era of I might want to have sex at a park, and I'm not into public play, so I need an adult park.
Not either. I don't like looking around but thinking that someone's gonna like see me or like I hate that. It's just like it
Right.
takes me out of it.
Ooh, I would be interested in doing like a massage with a microphone though. That would be interesting.
One of
Like,
these.
yes.
Oh my
Yes.
goodness.
That would be, my mind goes through a lot of things. Most definitely, whenever I have to like think about different things to like include in sex, it just like I have a hot glue gun over here. Granted, I will not use that for sex, but I feel like somebody who loves pain, they might. If anyone has ever used a hot glue gun for sex, please reach out to me. I want to know about your experiences.
Like hot?
Yeah.
No, I used to do a lot of crafts. So no, you don't want to do that. You will burn yourself.
You would, but we have some very interesting people out here. I would not be surprised if one person's
I
done
wouldn't put it past him, but
it.
from my experience, that shit hurts and I would not like
It
that.
does. Is that,
I remember when I was maybe 11. I was, and I've probably told this story once before, but we had these, I was at my grandma's house, my grandma and grandpa's house, and we had these toys that were kind of like these long, skinny, like magic wands. They were like skinny, they're full of like liquid and like glitter. Like you just like put it back and forth and the glitter goes up and down. And so I was like, you know what? I want to see this. So I was like 11. I was like pretty young. And I was in my grandmother's room and I was like under the covers and I like tried putting that up there. And then my fucking cousin walks in the room and my cousin was obnoxious. She used to torture me. But I love her. And but she walked in the room and she's like, "What are you doing?" And she rips up the cover. And I was like, "What?" And she fucking rips up the cover and goes, "What are you doing?" My pants were down and like I was like scrambling to put my shit back on. And she like, I don't know why she decided to do this, but she saw the magic wand and she picked it up and she like sniffed it. She goes, "What's this up your butt?" I was traumatized, but also it was, I mean, we could like laugh about it now, but that was kind of traumatizing.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so much.
I know, but for years afterwards, she would threaten me with like telling grandma and grandpa about the magic wand.
Oh no, that's so
I love
conniving
her though.
by
I
your
literally, I, if it, if
children.
she was my big sister with that, without being my big sister, it was like that kind of relationship.
I love children, the connivingness of it
Oh,
all.
she was
Kids are
terrible.
evil. Kids are so fucking evil.
We had this, we also had this toy clown, and it was like robotic. Like you would actually like remote control robot clown with like its eyes lit up and shit. It was fucking creepy. And to this day, I hate clowns. And but she used to like I got up to go to the bathroom from the living room, and I went around the back, and she got the clown, went around the opposite way. Met me in the hallway with the clown, turned it on, and had it walk around the corner at me. And I fucking pissed my pants. I was terrified. It scared the shit out of me.
Oh my God, no. I like her. I like the way
I
her
know she was
brain
evil, but
works.
honestly, it was fun growing up with her because it was just a very interesting, she's a very interesting person. I like my cousin a lot.
See, most of the
Love her.
time, like when it came to my brother, it was mostly like we just fought all the time. It's just argument, argument, argument. And I would say my mom, that heifer used to scare me all the time. Like, you just walk out of the bathroom and she comes out of nowhere. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I just came out the bathroom. Like, why are you here?
My mom, my stepdad, my cousins, everyone used to torture me because I was the baby. I was the only child. So everyone used to torture me. It was so bad. The abuse.
Oh, but you get to laugh at it now.
I know, it's good times. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to share a story. And we're back. I'm here with Dr. Vernon Scott, host of the Holiloquy podcast. Vernon, I know you have a story for us. Can
I
you please
do.
tell us your holiloquy?
Oh, okay. Yes. So, all right, y'all. So, there was this one time when I was young, dumb, and I was also a people pleaser. So, I think it was near like 7, 8. Actually, it was later in the evening, closer to 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I was just minding my business, watching TV. Life was good and relaxed and whatnot. And a little bit horny because, horniness is a drug, let's be real. So,
True. Makes you do really weird things.
so many weird things. But that night, I wasn't really planning on hooking up with anybody because I just remember it was like a long week. So I was on Grindr. Fuck Grindr, it's always Grindr. Fuck it. So, I was just on Grindr. Somebody hit me up and he was like, "Hey, you want to meet up?" I was like, not really. I'm just chilling tonight." And he was like, "No, but I really want to see you. I really want to fuck you and all this other stuff." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I'm loving this energy. Yes, let's do this." So I was like, "Well, give me some time. I have to get myself ready so we can meet up." And of course, I got myself ready and whatever, and I reached out to him again. I was like, "Okay, so are you coming to me? Am I going to you? Like, what's going on here?" So he was like, "Well, I lived in Macon at the time, so there's this city that's like 30 minutes outside of Macon, Georgia, called Warner Robins." So he said, "Oh no, I can host. The only thing is that I live in Warner Robins." And I was like, "Well, technically I could host here, so you can always, come over here. It won't be an issue." But he was like, "Oh no, I just feel more secure about being at my place." And I was like, "Okay, I guess that makes sense." Remember, I was a people pleaser and I was dumb as fuck at this time. So, I took a step up and I thought about it. I was like, "Well, I don't really feel like going to Warner Robins, but I feel like you just want me to take you there. Like, if that's the case, just let me know. That's fine. I don't mind just doing that because, again, being a people pleaser, I can just drop you off and then I just head home. We don't really have to have sex." And it's like, that it's cool. And his response was, "Oh, no, I really do want to fuck you." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess." So I end up finding this guy. He was not too far away from me, about 10 minutes. And we were chatting it up on driving towards Warner Robins. And he's like, "Oh, this is the hotel I'm at." So I take him there. And he's like, "Okay, I'm about to let myself in and you just come upstairs, blah, blah, blah." So I'm like, "Okay, cool." So he goes upstairs and he didn't go into a room. He was like knock on the door or some shit. And then he comes back downstairs and he's like, "Well, my key is like fucked up. I can't enter the room, so we have to go to like the lobby." So I'm like, "Okay, cool." So we go to the lobby. He says, "I'll be right back out." So I'm just sitting in my car listening to some music. It wasn't
It
Anita
sounds like he's
Baker.
playing games.
So many games, so many games. So I'm just listening to music. I wish it was Anita Baker. I would have been a lot calmer that night, but it wasn't. It was somebody that I just don't remember. So I'm just waiting outside. 10 minutes pass, and I'm like, "How long does it take for you to get your key?" Then another 5 minutes or so pass, and then somebody who works at the hotel comes out, and he's like, "Why are you out here?" And I'm like, "I'm waiting on the guy who was getting his key." He was like, "That dude ran out the back door. Like, why the fuck are you here?" And I'm like, "The fuck?" So I'm like, "Well, now this guy is looking at me. He's questioning me why I'm here." And I'm like, I don't even know anymore. So what the fuck am I supposed to? So yeah, I ended up like leaving that situation, leaving that hotel, and I would say the good side of this story is that there was somebody who I was kind of talking to who lived on my way back from Warner Robins. So I ended
Made
up
a pit
hooking up with
stop.
him. Yeah. I made a pit stop and that got me something good, and that's all that matters. So
Why are guys like this? Wait, I feel like they're, this is why I don't go on Grindr and any of the apps anymore, because like there's just so much shenanigans that happens on there. It's just like, why bother? Because everyone's crazy, everyone's flaky, everyone's just using you for whatever. So why are fucking guys like this? Like, there's a rise of what they call hobosexuals,
oh
where
my
they're
God.
basically on the apps because they're homeless and they just need a place to sleep. It's like that, or they want food, or they want money, or it's gross. I hate it, and I'm so sorry. Guys are shitty. Why are we
Dang.
gay?
Right. It's not a choice. It's not a choice. I wish it was. I truly do. Oh my gosh, because I would not choose to be attracted to these motherfuckers at all. Like,
No.
it's so wild. And I've gotten to the point, like, I love the work that I do now because I'm exposed to a lot of resources, like a lot of community resources. So now when someone hit me up saying, oh my gosh, I need this, I need that, I need a place to stay. Oh, well, look, here's a whole sheet
Here's
of
a phone
places that you
number.
could like contact them. They could help you out because it's not going to be me. Like
Right.
it's made my conversations so much easier. It increased my block rating. So I love that for myself. So it's just a whole septic tank out here.
It really is. And I definitely have been the helper, just trying to like help people, and that's always bit me in the ass every single time. I just don't do it anymore. Help yourself,
Right.
bitch.
Exactly. And that's just my perspective because I would tell people often, don't take my kindness for weakness, but at the same time, I have to remember not to do that to myself. And I've fallen into that trap of being so kind to other people that I put myself aside, and I just can't do that anymore. I really can't. Like, it's great to have these apps for the ease of like meeting up with people sometimes, but it's not worth it. The way people act, the way that people are so flaky, it's just like, what's the point? I have my little thing that I do to test people, and I hate that I have to do that. But it just depends on the conversations we're having, if they're willing to have conversation or if they are willing to share their pictures or not. All these things I need to check off before I'm even willing to expose myself to having sex with these people, because if not, it's just going to be a constant like wasting your time.
Yeah, proper vetting is really important, especially when you're trying to like date and hook up online. It's not always pretty, so vetting people is very important.
That part.
Why do you think people have a difficult time with boundaries? Like, I feel like a lot of us didn't really know what they were growing up, or that we really didn't have any, or our parents maybe didn't have any. That was kind of our role models. Like, why do you think people still struggle with boundaries so bad?
I think that's the reason, because people are not used to being exposed to boundaries or having them in front of them. That so they just believe that everything in the world is supposed to be accessible, which is why there's a multitude of people who feel as though they're entitled to your time. They feel as though that they can do whatever the fuck they want to do because they are so used to doing that, or they've been raised that it's okay for them to do that, or they've gotten so many different messages throughout their lives that says that, oh, it's perfectly fine for you to be a fuck boy and treat people however you want to treat them, or just do whatever you want to please yourself and not reciprocate that for other people because it's all about you rather than this is a mutual conversation or a mutual interaction that two people are having together.
Pretty Privilege. Have you heard of Pretty Privilege?
I surely have, and it's a real thing, and I hate that it's a real thing because, like, yes, there are some very beautiful and gorgeous people out here who are respectable. They are smart people. They can do all the great things, but that does not mean that's all, and that's a sad thing.
Yeah, I heard this story recently of someone who ha brought this invited this guy over, and he sat there like he used her shower and like sat on her couch like butt ass naked and like asked her for food and all this shit for like hours, and she was like, "I thought we were going to fuck. Like, why are we still just sitting here?" And he's talking, but he's, a fucking 10. So like you can't really say anything to them. Me, on the other hand, I like to keep 10s in their corner. I like to like jab them a bit.
Same, because what we're not going to do, you're not going to sit on my couch butt ass naked when I don't do that myself. Not in my house. You can leave. See, I'm a firm believer of checking motherfuckers whenever you need to. And just because you look pretty, that does not mean that you can get everything that you want, because my favorite word is no.
Not with me.
That meme of Bugs Bunny like saying no with his tongue all the way up onto his top lip, that's my spirit. Like, no. It
No is your best friend.
is, it is. Like, I've had someone who I would say definitely was like a 10. I've had a model before, actually, but I've had somebody who was extremely attractive, and they just thought that they will be able to run over me and whatever, because I'm not like the stereotypical image of beauty, and I'm okay with that. But what you're not going to do is act like you're superior. Like, you may look great, you may have the confidence, but maybe the reason why you act this way is because there's no substance in you. And I'm more than willing to point that out if you try me on the wrong day. So
You shady little bitch.
it is. I'm a fucking cloud.
I have a friend who is gorgeous, but he's a little inappropriate because I feel like people treat him that way. So I get that. But at the same time, it's like either you make that choice to not perpetuate that kind of culture, or you are just kind of like continuing to do it. So he's a little inappropriate. He gets a little touchy. I'm like, no, please do not. I don't, you do not have consent to grab me.
That.
But he is a nice guy. Just gotta check a motherfucker
You got to. You
once
got to.
in a
Like, you're gorgeous and everything. I love to look at you, but hold up.
while.
I'm choosing you. You're not my only option. Just remember.
Truly, truly. Vernon, before I let you go, do you have time to play a quick game with me?
Oh, of course.
All right. It's a game called Red Flags. So basically, I'm going to give you a situation and you're going to tell me if it's a red flag for you or not. And you can elaborate a little bit if you want to, too.
All right, all righty.
Okay. Number one, they have a split tongue and face tattoos.
That is not a red flag. That sounds like a good time. Oh my God.
I agree. To me, a face tattoo is really fucking hot. It's just, ew, yes.
I've met people with face tattoos that were very kind, sweet people. So depending on if you're fucking with them on the right day or not, so.
Oh yeah. I mean, especially nowadays, like tattoos have been kind of like less taboo. So like a lot of people are getting more kind of like, risque tattoos, even though they're not risque people. They just like the look of tattoos.
All right.
All right. Number two, they only own raggedy or old underwear.
That's a red flag. Like, my thing is just get a cheap pair every now and again. Like, you don't have to just have the ones that you had since 2018. Like, just revamp it a little bit. You know, it's okay. They don't have, they
Yeah.
could just be basic as Walmart brand something. It's okay. As long as they're recent, I'm okay with that.
I underwear is my thing. I don't feel beautiful unless I have on nice underwear. It's just a way, an extra layer of like kind of beauty that I like to throw on myself that no one sees except for maybe a few people. Or sometimes maybe a lot of people.
You know, the crazy thing is, I'm not a fan of underwear. I'm really not.
No.
No. Like, I do love like lingerie items. Yes, love it. But actual underwear is just so restricting to me. I like to be free. Yes, I'm that person who's outside without underwear on a regular basis, unless I'm wearing jeans or pants, and then I have to wear it because it's just like, one, I don't want to accidentally expose myself, and because you know zippers, they do whatever the fuck they want, and the other reason is the fabric plus genitals. It's not, it's you need underwear on if you're going to be wearing jeans.
I just like the look of it as an aesthetic thing. I'm a visual person, and my favorite thing in the world is when a guy bends over and he's wearing on a jock strap and you just see the little band like right above. That's just, it's my favorite thing.
Add a tattoo, you love you a tramp stamp.
Yep, add a tattoo. Game on. Number three, they write Winnie the Pooh erotica.
That is definitely a green flag. Oh my God, I would read that shit. I would read that shit so much. Oh my God. Because we all know Pooh and Piglet had a thing going on. And I just need confirmation of if Tigger's gay or not, okay?
Oh,
I
Tigger's for
have.
sure gay.
Thank you.
He's
Thank
probably on
you.
speed too.
Okay, yes. Oh, so he's on Grindr.
He's on Grindr. He is cracked
Profile.
out.
Profile has party with a capital T. That's all I know.
Damn.
I'm sorry. I need to stop being shady. Love y'all.
Rabbit's that older gay that's just like, he's got the house, he's got the money, he doesn't want anybody in his house, but everyone likes to party at his house.
Right.
And
Oh, and then Rue. Oh, just
then Rue.
adorable.
Yeah. The I can't. Digimon
You know I'm here for it. You know I am here for
Exactly.
Digimon Erotica. Renamon has forever been based since I laid eye on that bitch. Oh my God. Don't get me started.
Anjuman and
So, people out there on the internet who can make this happen, just send it to Vern. I love you
I'm
so
sure it's
much.
th I'm sure it's there
It's out there. It's out there.
already. Okay, number four. Every time, oh, this is my favorite thing. Yeah. Every time they get out of the car, you see their butt crack.
Oh yes, I love you. Look, welcome, green flag all day.
To me, yellow. It depends on the butt crack because they're
If it's no tramp stamp, you don't want it.
well, if it's like flat butt and like that's the reason why your pants stay up, no. If you just got like tight pants on, you got a nice ass.
That's
Yeah.
fair. That's very fair.
I just, it
I'm with
depends on the
you.
butt for me.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need to see everyone's butt crack, just some people's. Just some people's. All right. Last one. And I just went to one last night. They want to take you to a sex dungeon.
Oh my gosh, yes, green flag.
Green
Yes.
flag.
Yes. Please invite me.
I didn't go for fun. I had a friend's book signing and or an acquaintance's of mine book signing. So it was in a sex dungeon though. So I went to a sex dungeon.
Oh, was it? How was it? How did it look?
It looked like the Apple Store of sex dungeons. It was
Oh.
all like kind of brightly lit. There was mirrors, there was like couches, and then there was like a big kind of like the big X thing that you kind of like the spread eagle thing. And then there was
Yes.
an upstairs, which I didn't get to see yet, that I'm sure had a different vibe than the one downstairs.
Oh, that sounds so beautiful.
Yeah, it was really interesting looking. It didn't seem like a sex dungeon at first until someone actually, yeah, this is a sex dungeon. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I saw the thing in the corner. I'm like, oh, there we go.
We're here.
We're here. Well, Vernon, this has been super cool. I'm so happy that we got to spend some more time together. Where can my listeners find you?
Well, you all can find me on Instagram at your fave host. That's spelled H-E-A, H-E-A-U-X-S-T. I can't spell anymore. You can find the podcast at the Holy Loopy Podcast. You can also search the Vibrator in My Pod for those sex toy reviews. And you can find everything else on Slater's Playhouse at slatersplayhouse.com. So, yeah.
Yay! You'll find all kinds of stuff there. And of course, I'll leave the links in the description down below. Thank you again for being here, Vernon Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Vernon Scott. Doctor.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
A very special thank you to my guests for joining me in this week's episode. Check out the episode description for all of their information. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a comment and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It'll really help out the show. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel for video versions of this show and other content. You will find my blogs, The Deviant Diaries, and A Deviant's Guide to Sex, show notes, articles used, and Hookup Horror Stories official merch on my website at DimitriWild.com. You can also purchase both of my poetry books, Bitter Blue Pill, and All Was Nothing in the Time of Champions from Amazon.com. Just search for Dimitri Wild. Oh, one last thing. Thank you for listening. Stay deviant.
Remember, subscribing might not be worth it, but it's also not optional. So just do it.